Welcome to the Real Estate Mindset Podcast, hosted by Eric Nelson and brought to you by Wild Oak Capital. Eric is a real estate investor, business owner, and performance coach. Throughout this series, Eric explores the mindset behind why certain investors are so successful and how we can learn from their achievements and failures. Eric asks the tough questions around the habits, discipline, mindset, and more required to achieve the most ambitious goals. Thank you for being here and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Real Estate Mindset Podcast. I am Ben Nelson. I am guest hosting for Eric Nelson today, and we have an awesome guest. His name is David Sanford from HD Investment Properties. He is just getting going in the multifamily space, and he has a lot of really interesting information about the single family space where he spent a bunch of time. So we'd love to bring him in and learn about more what he's got going on. All right. Welcome, David Sanford from HD Investment Properties. We're real excited to have you here today.
Yeah, likewise, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, so we'd love to just jump into it. We were talking a little bit before the show started. If you mind, give us a quick rundown of your background and how you started and where you think you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, you know, I really do appreciate this opportunity. It's really cool to be on here and definitely an honor. So thank you.
But we're psyched to have you, man. We really like sharing stories and we really like hearing them. So let's get into it.
Cool. Yeah. So I started investing in real estate. You know, the accidental landlord I think you hear a lot about is where people, they own a house and they move and they just decide to rent their house out instead of selling it. So that was back in like 2016 or so. My wife and I owned a house and we were looking at moving. You know, we bought the house, we were in college, but at this point we were both making better money and everything. So we wanted a bigger, nicer house. So instead of selling it, I had just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So that's, you know, the book that kind of got me started. It gets a lot of people started, but so I was really motivated. Yeah, really good book. So I went to the local property manager and I think at the time, like our mortgage was like $830 a month, super low. And I remember telling my property manager, like, yeah, if I can get $1,000 a month, I'll be happy. Right. Looking back, that's not enough cash flow. yeah, so they came out and they were actually like, yeah, I think we could probably get like $1,300 or $1,400 a month. So yeah, so we decided to keep that as a rental. And then for about a year, that's all we had. And then I was like, you know, let's buy another house and then another house. And then in 2019, I started getting a lot more serious and really scaled the portfolio. Fast forward, yeah, now I guess I've been investing seriously for about 5 years or so. And we just signed a contract that'll put myself like above 50 doors. So
right on. That's amazing. So you mentioned the accidental landlord and just kind of moving up. Especially in the single family rental or even just kind of leveraging in, were you and your wife on the same page immediately that you both wanted to be investors and you both want to have a rental house? Is that something that you had to talk about quite a bit? Is there, you know, a lot of times that we find that there's some interesting conversation we'll say as we jump into investing. It's that when one person usually seems to be the motivator.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's how it was. Like I said, I just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So I was super hyped to get into it. And my wife, she was just very supportive. So, you know, it wasn't really her interest, I guess, but she was interested in like decorating and, you know, getting to like pick out the color schemes and floors and things like that. But initially, you know, I had to kind of talk her into it, I suppose.
You're not the only one, my friend. You're not the only one by any means. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that. So if you wouldn't mind just digging a little bit deeper, you mentioned you kind of got serious about it. So you picked up one or the next one. So moving really from that first one into the second one, right? Like the initial is taking action, going for it, trying it out. So what really got you on the flow of an additional deal? Do you mind walking us through some of those initial second, third, fourth, and then how have you kind of scaled into, see, like you said, almost 50 doors?
Yeah. So the first one, the first true rental, you know, I mentioned like our first one was a house that we had just owned and we sold. So the first true property that we bought solely as a rental, we had that first rental and it was cash flowing, you know, roughly $400 a month or so. And I was like, this is really cool. Like, you know, someone's paying my mortgage for me. We're making money every month and really wanted to grow it. So we saved up money. You know, at the time I didn't realize like the power of using other people's money or, you know, just getting creative with private lenders and whatnot. So we waited until we had enough of our own money to put down the down payment and then pay for all the renovations and everything. But yeah, so it took us a good year to get to that second property. We got that one. And then it was probably another 6 months or so. We were saving up more money. you know, this is the pre-kid life. So, you know, we didn't really have the expenses that come along with having kids at the time. So we were able to save money up pretty quick, or decently quick. So yeah, then we bought our third rental property. And then the lender on that told me about something I never heard of, about like a cash out refinance. I didn't know what that was, you know, so I was kind of skeptical about using it. But once I did, I realized like, this is genius. Like we can, you know, rinse and repeat and get our money back out and refinance.
Power of leverage for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I think we had three or maybe four rentals. I did a cash out refinance on everything. And we turned those three or four rentals into like eight rentals and just kind of went from there. I remember like, you know, for that second property, it was funny because I remember asking my wife, like, what's the least amount of money we can have in the bank? And like, you know, and still let me invest the rest. So yeah, it was foolish, you know, because we were brand new. We didn't realize the amount of savings that we needed. So I think at the time we were like, okay, anything over like $10,000, like
right.
we can invest. So.
Well, I think that's a big thing too, is and really, this is really interesting because you kind of stumbled into the BRRRR without really reading, it sounds like, without reading about BRRRR or anything else. I mean, the branded term from Brandon Turner, but it's a really interesting leverage point and it's a really interesting endeavor. And I think, you know, there's a lot of folks that listen to the show. We talk a lot about multifamily. We talk a lot about, you know, larger properties, but we, you know, Eric, especially, he talks a lot about how he got into single family. And, you know, I jumped in with a couple of quads with him, and it really is important to understand the landscape because it's really difficult. And especially with inflation being what it is, you know, we're recording in late August. Inflation is a big conversation right now, and the power of money and really what leverage means, and really what leverage means, especially when you're financing against what that interest rate is, it can be really, really powerful. And it can be far more powerful than saving up, right? Like the rate at which you can save at some cases is not necessarily what you're going to be able to put down. It's just outpacing what you're putting into it. So, and now you say you're close to 50 doors. Have you guys come up with any systems? Do you have a team? You know, tell me a little bit more about now that you have this train rolling. Like there's a big difference between having three rentals and having, you know, 30 or 40 or 50. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I, like you said, the BRRRR method. So I'm in the military. That's my full-time job. So I do that full time.
Thanks for your service, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate the support. But yeah, I was at a military school, ALC. It's like a school to make E6, a certain rank. And I was pretty much on lockdown at the school. I didn't really have transportation, so I was just kind of stuck there. So that's when I found Bigger Pockets and I found the BRRRR and everything. Because I was just on YouTube and I think, you know, I had a couple rental properties and I really wanted to scale it. But like you said, it takes a long time to save up the down payments.
Right.
So I stumbled on their videos and they had mentioned, you know, hard money lenders, private lenders, and it just dawned on me. You know, I remember like when I graduated school, I went home, my wife and I went to dinner. I remember telling her like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to find somebody who's got some money, you know, and borrow it to buy real estate and, you know, just work out the BRRRR method. So that's when it really started growing, expanding. So. But
is it just you and your wife now still with the 50? Do you rely on property management? Tell us a little bit about how you manage that portfolio at scale.
Yeah. So when I got to right about 10 properties or so, I was self-managing the whole time up until we got to about 10 doors. And then at that point, I realized like this takes a lot of time and I was still working full time. You know, we had, you know, I think we had one kid at the time and I realized like I really need to seek out property management. So, you know, initially, I didn't want to bring them on just because of that fee that you had to pay, the monthly fee. But quickly realized, like, I'm spending a lot of time on this. And if I can take that time and dedicate it to finding deals or growing the team or, you know, finding new investors and, you know, just really growing the business, my time would be a lot better spent. So right around 10 doors is when we went to
property. That is exactly right, man. And I think especially new listeners or people new to this game, rewind it and listen to that, because that is the number one light bulb that really motivates a lot of people to take the next step, is realizing what the value of your own time is. And yes, like there are people out there who will do that job and any job for a fee, right? And finding that balance of where is my best service to this business, where's the best service to my family and to myself? Because ultimately, it's not even just about the business, right? Like getting a little bit of time to reset, spending a little time with your family, spending time with your kids. Yeah. Sounds like you have multiple children at this point, right? I personally have kids as well, and Eric does as well. And the ability to spend time with them is what this is all about for us. And it sounds like that's what it is for you too, because ultimately the goal here is to grow and to get bigger and to get better. But if you're spending all of your waking hours managing your portfolio, that's, you know, you've built yourself some golden handcuffs. So really that point at which people realize it's worth the money to pay somebody else to do this job is such an amazing thing, man. So you have one property management company. Are you in just in one market, or how, give us a little bit more information about that.
Yeah. So yeah, right now I've got two property management companies because I'm really in two different locations. So largely in like the Richmond, Virginia market, I've got a property manager here. And then I've also got close to about 20 doors in like Roanoke. It's kind of near like Virginia Tech out there and Virginia still, but that's another property management company I use out there.
Do you mind if I ask, how did you decide on those markets, especially getting into it? Is it just a part and parcel of your job, or how did you decide on those markets? And what research did you do to kind of look into those?
Yeah. So the company that I have around the Richmond market, that's where I grew up. It's where I live and everything. It's where I work. So I just started picking up properties where I was familiar with, you know, the good neighborhoods, the good areas, bad areas. So that's where I started out. And then to be 100% honest and transparent here, like the company that I used was literally the first company that popped up on Google. So yeah, it ended up being like a really good company. You know, I've never really had any complaints with them or anything. They've got great service. But, you know, like I said, I was like, hey, instead of selling this house, let's just rent it. And they were just the first person I called, and I've just grown with them. And they've been really, really good to work with. So using them. But then for the Roanoke deal, that market there, it was kind of, you had mentioned earlier, like what my team looks like. So I'd hired a guy that helped me. He worked for me like 30 hours a week or so. And he was just finding deals and managing contractors. That's pretty much all he was doing. So he was always on social media and you know, touching base with wholesalers and real estate agents. And he was doing a fantastic job, absolutely killing it. So this gentleman out in the Roanoke market had to sell off his portfolio for some legal reasons. And he basically he needed a contract like within like hours of us even finding the deal. So kind of foolish, you know. So we did like a sight unseen offer. I kind of ballparked some numbers in my head of like general turnover cost plus some. Made my offer, ended up being a really, really good deal. But that was, I think it was 12 properties and 3 vacant lots. So that's how I ended up in the Roanoke market. It's just that offer right there. So I picked up the 12 properties. My offer was solely based on the properties and the 3 vacant lots, actually, or 4 vacant lots. I'm sorry. 4 vacant lots actually kind of just got like tossed into the deal for free.
So what are you around next week to go to Vegas? I would love to take you. And there's this luck here, man. That's incredible. First one on Google and just tossed in extra vacant lots. So have you gone into developing? Did you sell those off? Are you sitting on that land at this point?
Oh, that's funny. Funny you ask. So yeah, it was 4 vacant lots. I misspoke a second ago and said 3, but yeah. So all 4, I immediately put on the market to sell. None of them sold. I thought like, this is an easy $100,000 in the pocket, free lots. It'll help cover like some of my renovation expenses. So but yeah, it didn't turn out that way. I finally just got an offer on one of the lots. Another one of the lots is kind of like shared land with one of my properties. So I'm probably just going to hold on to that lot for now. But the 2 other lots, I actually just signed a contract with a guy for 9 houses back in Roanoke, same area, the same agent, different seller. So it was 9 properties, and it was the most like brutal negotiations ever. So just back and forth and back and forth. And eventually we were like, I was at $740,000 for the 9, and he was asking, I think like $850,000 or so. So yeah. So I was like, $740,000 is like my cost. I can't go above $740,000 or I'll take a loss. It just doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to chase a bad deal.
Well, that's it too. I think not to cut you off, but that is exactly another tactic here. Again, for the sort of first time listeners or first time buyers, the numbers don't lie, right? Like the ability to say, this is where I'm at. And I can't go anywhere else. I've done the underwriting. I've done the looking. This is what my number is. And being able to stick to it is one of the most important things in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to protect your investor's investment. I mean, you can't chase the deal. You know, you can't play with the numbers and bend them to make it look more appealing. Cause like you said, the numbers are what they are. So, right. But yeah. So we were almost $100,000 off in his asking and what I was willing to pay. So then it dawned on me, like, I've got these vacant lots that I got for free. So I was like, hey, I'll stick at my $740,000 and I'll give you 2 free lots. And he accepted.
Wow. So
yeah. And the lots came free to me, and they were not worth $100,000. The price difference that we were, you know, they were probably worth $40,000. You never know what will seal the deal. You know, that's just like,
that's really interesting. Yeah. I mean, and I think that the other piece of this is being willing to be creative and ask those questions, right? Like there's a lot of people, especially in the beginning, that are afraid to throw something on the table. Like, oh, I'm going to offend somebody, or I can't do that. I mean, the best deals that we found are creative, or even, you know, even necessarily closing them, but creating relationships whereby later there's a deal that comes out of it just because you were able to think on your feet enough. And if it even doesn't get to the closing table, like, oh, hey, I remember that guy. He's willing to be really, oh, I have this interesting deal. Let's go find out. You know, the same thing goes, especially we talked about interest rates before. You know, is it an owner finance deal, or is the loan assumable? There's a lot of other ways to look at these things, and like, oh, he wants $5 and I only have four. I guess I can't do the deal. You know?
Yeah.
So that's a really interesting point for sure. So you have 50 rentals now and you're in single family. What's kind of the next step? What's on the horizon for you and your team?
Yeah. So I think for my next step, I'm going to look into the multifamily space. I think I've been wanting to go into multifamily commercial, you know, storage, self-storage, something like that for a while now. Being comfortable with single family, you know, I was just kind of sticking with my comfort zone, and I realized like there's growth in fear, right? So, you know, if I'm kind of skeptical or a little bit uncertain of going into the commercial space, that's probably where I need to go. So yeah, I started studying up on that. I actually took up a mentorship program and started learning that aspect of the business.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. So we're really big on coaching in our world. I mean, both Eric and I utilize a coach. We've been absolutely helped by mentors through this journey for sure. And we're just getting started. We feel our ramp up coming. So tell me a little bit more about that program or any other mentorship that you've been able to rely on in your growth here.
Yeah. So this one, it was through, you know, like I said, I'm military. So there's a Facebook group, you know, they got a pretty large presence, active duty, passive income, ADPI. So, and that really kind of, I really, really like that platform and that group there, because I'm military myself. And I, you know, I've come across a lot of soldiers in my career that just, they need some financial knowledge. So that group was very, I was really happy to find something like that, because it really fits. Makes me excited, I guess, to see other soldiers doing this as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I think my wife was pregnant with our second child. We've got three kids now, 5 years old, 2 year old, and 6 months. So congrats. With our second child, she was pregnant. Yeah, it's a different kind of life, but
we'll talk about that one in a minute for sure.
Yeah. So this program, she was pregnant with our second child, and I was like, let's dive in. You know, like I'm going to start learning this business. So that way, like, I'm not going to just jump into something. I need to make sure like it's a solid investment. And right. I could have learned everything myself over a couple of years, but I figured it was kind of like a no-brainer just to pay that price up front and just have instant access to all of that knowledge and just learn everything about the business kind of right there, and have like a coach and a mentor versus YouTube University or reading, you know, 1,000 books and listen to all these podcasts and trying to piece together all this knowledge myself. Let's just get it over with.
Well, I think that the important piece there too is that you have the ability to have feedback, right? So there is a lot of value in books, in my opinion. There's a ton of value in YouTube, and there's a lot of people that have kind of paved this way before. And especially the books, like the knowledge that gets laid out, but the ability to ask a question or the ability to follow up, those are the things that I really, really find to be. I mean, we have our own systems, like we run our own conferences, the same thing. Like we really value the ability for an open conversation within mentorship and conferences and otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like you said, there's just having access to people that are doing the, you know, what you want to do.
Sure.
That's so huge. Like, you know, they say your net worth is your network, and that definitely applies here.
I'd agree. So you mentioned investors briefly. And so it sounds like you do bring on investors for your deals now. And have you thought about what that looks like as far as moving ahead into multifamily?
So the investors that I use now, they're all on the short-term side. I don't really have a big network for long-term investing. So going back to the Burr method, you know, I usually borrow the funds for, you know, the typical Burr, 4 months, 6 months, somewhere in that window, and pay them back. So I haven't really had the conversations with them about long-term investments, you know, through like a syndication or something like that for the larger deal, but definitely something that's on, you know, soon to come.
Great. Well, with that, man, we always ask a few different questions of each of our guests, and would love to kind of pick your brain on some of these. So, first, do you have a morning routine?
Oh, I would love to say yes. I have a morning routine I would like to do.
Okay.
But I've done, you know, fairly well. But like I said, I got a 6 month old. So it's an excuse, right? But
you're in the cave. That's what my wife and I still call it. For the first about 8 months, we call it the cave for sure. So we have two little boys, and I recognize that. And ours are right on top of each other. So it's, I understand how difficult it is to get into a rhythm. I will say, and this kind of that puts into the next question here. So I read more with a newborn and up until about 8 months than I did ever before, mostly because of those like weird midnight 2 a.m. reading. And I was never a fan of the Kindle, but after that, I got a Kindle because you always turn the page with one hand, right? Like you're doing feeding or whatever else is far. Yeah, exactly. And it's, I've become addicted for sure. So with that, you mentioned Rich Dad Poor Dad. Are there any other books or resources that you lean on or that have kind of changed your mind or opened your mind to some ideas that you'd be willing to share with our listeners?
Yeah, there's my two favorite books, probably, you know, for real estate investing, you know, I'm always borrowing money from people or doing cash out refinances or selling houses or getting rental income, paying tax, paying insurance, all this stuff. And I foolishly only had one bank account for all that. So I couldn't tell you how many times I've told my wife, like, I have no idea how much money we have or how much we make, just because it's all mixed together. So yeah, recently I read, Profit First for Real Estate Investors. It's a book by David Richer. And he really did a great job explaining, like, you know, all the different bank accounts that you should have. So that way you're not in the dark when, you know, are you successful or are you not? So that book really kind of helped kind of structure the business a little bit more intelligent.
That's great. Well, no, it is. It's a thing, right? Like people just, how much money do I have? How much is in the bank account? Am I okay? Am I not okay? Like that's more common than I think people realize, but it's that book really is interesting. I read it recently as well. And a lot of the tactics, especially with, to your point, like lining out bank accounts is worth reading for sure. So you have, like you said, close to 50. What's the biggest mistake that you made up to the date in your real estate career that people can learn from?
Yeah. So when I was, I'm 33 years old right now, but when I was 29, I had 9 properties and my goal in my head was to hit 10 properties before I turned 30. So my birthday was coming up soon and I'm only at 9 properties. So I mistakenly, you know, the mistake I don't suggest anybody do is I rush to find something. And that kind of goes back to earlier, like don't chase a deal. Don't make the numbers try to work. You know, if they make sense, they make sense. And this particular property, it was kind of like in a rougher area as well. And I don't ever buy anything like in, you know, D-class or anything like that. So, but I did because I wanted to make, you know, keep my promise to myself or make that goal of 10 properties before I had turned 30. So yeah, I rushed. It was a bad decision. It turned out to be a disaster. Somebody literally stole the garage door and one of the garage walls. Can't make any sense of it. They stole one wall and then stole the garage door.
Wait, say that said they stole a wall? I mean, the garage door, I understand because it detaches, but how do you go about stealing a wall?
Disassembled it. They took the vinyl siding off. They took the, you know, the plywood. They took all the 2x4s. They disassembled one wall and then took the garage door. So yeah,
I'm sorry to laugh at your misfortune, man, but that is a new one. We've heard a lot of things, but I've never heard of a full wall theft before.
Yeah, a whole disassembly. And it was a detached garage. So it had all 4. So, you know, why'd you only need one wall?
Just a fort. Just a really awesome fort.
Yeah, with a garage door in front of the fort. Yeah. that was definitely a mistake. I guess there's something to be said of like staying true to myself and, you know, hitting that goal and making those promises to myself and keeping those promises. But at the same time, it was a foolish deal. I shouldn't have chased it. Luckily, I didn't lose a lot of money. I think overall, I ended up losing like $20,000 or so.
Sure.
So it was an expensive learning lesson, but, you know, I made sure, you know, all my investors still got made whole and everything. I just had to eat that. But yeah, so that was probably the biggest thing is, you know, as I said before, don't rush into a deal. You know, if it makes sense, take it. If it doesn't make sense, make your offer what did make sense because you still spent your time analyzing it. But at the same time, like don't chase a deal.
Well, that's interesting because I've been asked that many times and I've said it actually on a couple of podcasts is that, you know, I had a mentor actually from a different industry. I was coming up on an event production and one of the best pieces of advice that he ever gave me was be honest with yourself and always keep promises that you make to yourself. But I learned over time, to your point, it's less about being like, I said I was going to do this thing and I have to do it by this day and more being able to say, this is why I want something. And this is the end result. Like, this is what we're supposed to do. So yes, there is a disciplinary component of that. Like, I'm going to get up and work out. I'm going to do these things, but also the why behind it. And if you can't achieve something or a goal that you've set out for, I guess the question is why, right? Like it's completely okay to say, I haven't found a deal, but have I looked hard enough for a deal? Or have I done the work on this end to find that deal as opposed to like, oh, I just have to do that. you know, there's a lot of people, you can talk about 1031 exchanges and all those things for days as well. And that's where a lot of people get into some trouble also, is like identifying and, you know, really rushing to try to identify something. But that's a rabbit hole we can go down another time.
I really like that.
So with that, the mindset tips, and you know, our podcast is really big on mindset. What are some mindset tips you can give to people listening to this, especially, you know, starting out and trying to achieve some of their goals? And what have you learned over time that you can help other people apply to their lives as they're getting going in real estate investing?
Yeah, I think by far the biggest thing is with this business, or, you know, whether you're doing single family residential or small multifamily or large multifamily or whatever business you want to get into, just know that, you know, have the mindset that you can do it. You know, if other people are doing it, you can absolutely do it. So I think just being in the right mindset to that, like, if you want it, go get it. You know, there's the only thing that's going to hold you back is yourself. You know, you can have things that are difficult to overcome, but, you know, if you want it bad enough, you'll go out there and get it. So I think just having the right mindset and, you know, writing down your goals daily, or, you know, saying affirmations, or just speaking your goals out loud, or telling people, your friends, family, posting it on social media, whatever it is, like, whatever you have to do to make sure you're in the right mindset to get after, I think is really important there.
Right on. I would say amen. Affirmations and goals, those are big things in my life for sure. Well, great. If you wouldn't mind, how can our listeners learn more about you? What can we do? What can our listeners do to progress what you're doing? And how do we find out more about you?
Yeah. So I just recently, if you find me on Instagram, I'm at davidsanford215. That's really the only social media platform I'm on right now. I'm on LinkedIn as well, David Sanford. But yeah, that's really about it. You know, if I'm trying to grow a social media presence, you know, so I'm posting a lot of valuable tips and it's kind of giving out a bunch of free information. So if anybody's ever interested in getting into the business and they have a question or they want a mentor or anything like that, they can feel free to reach out to me there.
That's so awesome, man. We really appreciate your time and we look forward to seeing what you do in the future. We'll look forward to maybe catching back up in a year or so and seeing where you end up.
Yeah. That sounds great. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Right on. Have a good day.
You too, man.
Wow, what an awesome interview. Learning that's his first interview that he's done on a podcast. And what an interesting guy. Really diverse background and really loved some of the things that he said about taking care of his family and making a few mistakes and how to get out of some of those. And most especially not chasing a deal, just to chase a deal and just to get a deal done. So it's very interesting. We really appreciate his time. We look forward to it. And after talking with him a little bit post-show, we started talking about different conferences and different meetups. And I want to remind everybody, we have the Pay It Forward conference coming up here in Denver in early October. Please go to payitforwardmastermind.com. We'd love to see you there, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Mindset Podcast. If you've enjoyed the content today, please follow this show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to head over to wildoakcapital.com for more information or to connect with Eric directly. Please take a moment to leave a review or tell a friend about what you've listened to today. We hope you'll tune in again soon.